It has been a turbulent decade here in Vancouver, to say the least.
Check me out, y'all.
Halford and Brock.
In your area.
That's right.
About to cause mass hysteria.
Sportsnet 650.
Hughes a drop. He scores.
I've never seen a young defenseman like Quinn Hughes.
It's halftime.
Horvat with two. Horvat with three. Patrick.
Look at me. I'm the captain.
It's halftime.
Now Besser off the drift one. Accepted by Patterson. He scores.
It's halftime.
Playoff atmosphere. Look at the boys go. Crank it up. Let's go.
7:04 on a Wednesday. It is Halford. It is Breff. It is Sportsnet 650. We're here with you until 9 o'clock this morning, at which time we will hand the reins to Sir Tool. No game today. It's a non-Canucks game day, so they take a break from the Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl show. So there were two big stories from the Canucks yesterday. One was the game, in which the score was almost not secondary but tertiary behind JT Miller's most recent snap show and the NHL debut of Jack Rathbone. The other big news, of course...
I'm angry!
That was JT Miller. The other big news yesterday was, of course, that the Canucks AHL, their minor league franchise, is on the move from Utica to Abbotsford. It will now be just an hour and a half, depending on traffic, an hour and a half drive away from their home at Rogers Arena. We just spoke with Chris Johnson, our NHL insider here on Sportsnet, and he was talking about all the benefits from a hockey operations standpoint of having your affiliate so close by. But we thought, forget the hockey ops. This is big, not just for the city of Abbotsford, but for us to learn and understand more about the cultural institution that is Abbey. We got a lot of people texting in about things to do, places to see, where to go.
What have you got flagged?
Well, we've got... Now I've lost it.
Oh,
why do you always start me on the spot?
Typical.
Like this?
Well,
typical.
You were literally just saying we got lots of people texting in.
I know.
With ideas on things to say, and then you looked at me like,
first day on the job, Mike?
Sorry, I've got it here. Unsigned text from Gary. Abbotsford has the highest number of churches per capita in Canada.
So it's the Bible Belt of Canada?
Right. We don't know a lot about Abbotsford, to be frank. I've learned about Mill Lake. I've learned about the sewage pump at Sumas Lake, which is apparently somebody. I wanted to throw it out to the listeners. I threw it out to you at the break. Is there a particular nightclub? Do they still say nightclub? A discotheque?
Yeah. Do they have a club in Abbotsford?
You know,
like, well, these are young guys out there.
But I don't think youths go to nightclubs anymore. Well, surely you've read about the downfall of the nightclub scene, because now if you want to
but before that,
if you wanted to meet someone.
Isn't Cactus Club the most social aspect of Abbotsford?
You brought up Cactus
Abbotsford?
Club a lot here.
Huh? You really love Cactus Club.
You brought
Club.
Up the Abbotsford Cactus Club three separate times.
I've been to the Abbotsford Cactus Club, and it is a happening place.
Yep.
It's a happening place.
You know why he mentions it? Because the only time Jason's ever been in Abbotsford is when he's driving through Abbotsford on Highway 1, and you can clearly see the Cactus Club off of Highway 1.
That's not true.
It's not true.
That's not true.
I have
friends that live in Abbotsford.
Do you remember the last time
you and I went to Abbotsford? Hey, you know what? Remember when we were talking about egging?
Don't do this.
That was in Abbotsford?
That's where I went.
Oh, it was.
That's when I went egging.
It was 2 months ago.
I love that I type in Abbotsford Club, and the first thing that comes up is Club 16.
Club 16, yeah. Okay.
No, wrong kind of club.
That's the wrong club.
Is it open late?
What is the nightlife like in Abbotsford for all these players that are going to fly into Abbotsford and
they're going to
be like, I wonder if this is better than Utica, or I wonder if this is better than Wilkes-Barre, or where are some of the other ones? Like Henderson, Nevada has a team. Stockton
and Henderson, I don't know how far away it is from either Reno or like the Strip, but that's got some potential. A couple people texting in. I remember these ones. Back in the day, Abbotsford had a club called Animals.
Animals, yes. Animals.
At the exact same time.
I believe Animals had, and you knew it was a fancy club.
Uh-huh.
When you got your highballs in a plastic cup.
Love that.
Do you know?
It's just safer for everybody involved.
Safer for everyone,
yeah.
Right?
If you drop the glass.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing bad's going to happen.
If you were to, for example, throw your cup
that's right
at someone, it's just a little bunk,
yeah.
You know?
This reminds Shorty wanted me to tell this story. You know how you're in the mark of a good bar or club? If it still has a functional cigarette machine, that's how you know that you're kind of gone into the past.
That sounds very American, though.
So we went to training. This is many years ago. I've cleaned up my act since then. But many years ago, we went to training camp in Penticton.
Right.
Remember?
Yeah.
And is that the Lions training camp?
No, the Canucks training camp. Okay. Many moons ago.
They got a beautiful rink there.
Gotcha. Yeah. The South Okanagan Events Center. And they've got a big bar restaurant called the Barking Parrot. Back in the day, a long time ago, I want to add, Shorty recalls the story of me. They had a cigarette machine. And he said I was maybe I'd had one too many. And I apparently kept I was like using it like a slot machine. Like I kept buying packs of cigarettes and then automatically losing them, but not being deterred, going back up. Mm-hmm. He's like, you pumped $75 into a cigarette machine one night. And they just kept coming out.
It's not a slot machine, you know.
Like, sir, you've already won. You have all the cigarettes that we have. Anyway.
So we asked for suggestions on what the new name of the Abbotsford AHL team should be. I threw this out on Twitter and I said, wrong answers preferred.
How's that going?
The Abbotsford cheap gas.
A lot of people have brought up cheap. One person went so far as to explain why gas is, I guess, 8 to 14
There's
cents.
No TransLink tax.
There you go.
Yeah.
Just in case anybody didn't know. So
you can fill up with gas there. I think that they can make some cool jerseys there. The Jamie on Twitter suggests the Abbotsford Thank You Gyms. Yeah. Well, there'd be a lot of draft prospects there.
Thank you, Jim.
The Abbotsford Grandlands. Yeah.
Nope.
What about some sort of, did Granlund ever play? You know what? Did Granlund play for the Abbotsford Heat? He might have played. Yeah, exactly. So you'd be honoring two things there, the legacy of the old AHL team in Abbotsford and also the Sea of Granlund.
I'm on it. I want to know. I need to know.
Okay, while you're looking.
He did. He played 52 games. He scored 25 goals in 52 games for the Abbotsford Heat. You may as well name the team after him at that point. I'm surprised. The first one came in for this, and it's the only one so far. What?
You put his jersey in the banner. Or the Raptors.
Should. The first one you should put up.
That could be the ceremony. That could be opening day.
And Granlund's like, I can't believe this is happening. But I love it. This is the first one that we've got on this, and I'm surprised more people haven't weighed in on this. Stas Pavlov. That's the name of the texter. Stas Pavlov. Three simple words when trying to sell Abbotsford to the folks. Castle Fun Park.
Yeah.
How has no one brought that up yet? Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that I know about Abbotsford.
Is that mini golf? Is that
batting, golf, batting cage. Cages,
oh, there's
the
a batting cage
go karts
there.
You'll ever
bad go karts.
Well, hold on a sec. Let's not run them down. They might be a sponsor.
They're not.
Okay, but eventually no, but
they have bad go karts.
They're slow.
Yeah,
it's a family thing.
Go karting is. I don't know if you've gone go karting.
It's the
recently.
Official sport of Abbotsford, isn't it?
I don't think so.
No, that's so. Mission. That's
oh,
mission.
Okay.
But the go-karting has kind of really taken off, like the quality of cars that one can get.
They're like race cars now.
Yeah. Mm. Like you can't have the old school, like bumper cars that go like 15 miles an hour. You need to step up your game.
I want to talk about Jack Rathbone's debut last night.
That was the other big story from last night.
I was obviously very curious to see this guy. And overall, I was pretty impressed. He could move and he's got some escapability, which you really need in today's NHL. Escapability, by that I mean evading the forecheck, evading checkers. It's kind of like actually when you talk about defensemen in the NHL today, in some ways you talk about them like they're quarterbacks in the NFL, right? Yep. Pass rush comes is like the forecheck, and then you're like, can he escape it?
Can he be accurate also under pressure?
Yeah.
That's a big part of the NFL right now.
For sure. Yep. Now, we only saw a glimpse of Jack Rathbone, and we're going to need to see more, and we're going to need to see what the numbers look like for him. But I was pretty encouraged by what I saw, and I think Travis Green was pretty encouraged as well.
Yeah, he was good. you know, you can see he's got the skating legs. He's got a good pass. He got his release shot away a few times. It's sneaky, deceptively hard, and he gets it through. But he played well.
So, looking ahead to next season, I think it would be risky to say that either Jack Rathbone or Ole Ulevi can handle a top four spot on the left side.
Yes, that would.
You never know. You never know. But if you've got Quinn Hughes penciled into that top spot on the left side, and then Tyler Myers is going to have a spot on the right, regardless, he's not going to play the left. And then you've got Nate Schmidt, who could play left or right. I still think the Canucks are going to need to sign a top four defenseman. And I, with all due respect to Alex Edler, if you re-sign Alex Edler and your intent is to play him top 4 minutes, then I think it's going to be trouble.
Yeah, you're going to struggle. Yeah. I mean, we've seen it this year.
Yeah.
And he's not going to get any more fleet of foot or any younger.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to go in the opposite direction. Now, I brought this up the other day. Is there a world, is there a conceivable world where you bring back Green and Edler, and Green doesn't just automatically defer to Edler as a top four guy? And I said, no, I don't think there is. I think Green will be, well, I'm just going to keep rolling him out because he's all I got here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think what you're going to see is the Canucks make an attempt to reshuffle that top four, but it's easier said than done, right? You're in a flat cap world. Top four defensemen did not come cheap. Also, you've got to look at the quality of guys available. Could you maybe try and put Rathbone in there and let him learn on the job? That might be a solution. Is you say, we're going to take our lumps with the learning curve and the difficulty of becoming that top four guy. But quite frankly, we don't have any other options. Now, Pittsburgh did it successfully with John Marino.
Mm-hmm.
Also a Harvard guy, if I'm not mistaken. And they just threw him into the fire and said, you're going to be a top four guy here. Come hell or
Canucks
high water.
Did that with Ben Hutton.
And it actually worked in the first year, mm-hmm. although with the benefit of hindsight, you realize that it wasn't so much Hutton thriving in a top four role. The top four wasn't very good.
Yeah.
And he looked better because he was playing. I mean,
and you're less critical of a player in his rookie season, especially one like Ben Hutton, who had kind of, I don't want to say he came out of nowhere, mm-hmm. but he definitely surprised to make the NHL that season, his first season. I think sure. a lot of people expected he'd be in the AHL for a while. And he impressed, kind of like Troy Stetcher did. And all of a sudden, he's playing fairly big minutes. I really do wonder what the organization thinks about Ole Ulevi. Clearly, the coaching staff does not trust him yet. I don't know if I've ever seen a player sheltered to the point that Ole Ulevi was. I'm not saying he hasn't improved throughout the season. I think he has. But Ulevi was not in the lineup last night to make way for Jack Rathbone to make his NHL debut. So they've got to make some decisions on that. And I don't think where Ulevi was drafted should play into that decision-making process. That's done.
Mm-hmm.
It's over with. It's about the player now. Don't make the same mistake that you did with Jake Virtanen.
Right. And I think Ulevi being a third pair guy in limited minutes while you shelter him a bit next year, that's fine.
Yeah.
Right? At this point, you want to try and make sure that
or even
you
the seventh or eighth defenseman.
But at this point, your goal should be get some NHL minutes and games out of Ole Ulevi. That should be the goal. Because I think if you put any more expectations or you have any higher aspirations, you might just end up being disappointed, or you might end up doing what you're saying, putting him in a role because of where he was drafted, what his reputation is, and you're trying to salvage whatever's lost. Like right now, you look at the franchise and where they're at, and we said it the other day, like Jack Rathbone might end up being their most important prospect, period, because of where they're at on defense. And it doesn't matter where he was drafted or where his learning curve is in relation to anyone else. All that stuff exists in vacuums at this point because
or at least it should.
What he
but
does,
you know it doesn't, right?
But yeah.
It should, though.
It should. It absolutely should. There's a lot more to get to on this program. Coming up, we'll talk to Jeff Patterson, intrepid Canucks reporter. Works everywhere, really. And I guess we can talk to Jeff about the Abbotsford thing. I don't remember. I'm assuming Jeff was, you know, boots on the ground on the scene when Abbotsford was here as the Abbotsford Heat, but Calgary's AHL affiliate. I don't know how much he would have interacted with the team, but Jeff's been around hockey in this province at a variety of levels for an awfully long time. So we'll talk to him about the experience of having an American Hockey League team in Abbotsford, how he thinks this is going to work. I suppose, and we haven't really gone down this road yet, there is the conversation to be had of right now in that area, the Fraser Valley, of course, I'm talking about, you're going to have fans that are involved with the NHL team, the Canucks, obviously, fans that are going to be, and it sounds based on text into our Dunbar Lumber text line, there's a lot of people that have already signed up for season tickets. Mm-hmm. So the Abbotsford, whatever they're called, will be a draw. You've also got a Chilliwack, it's a junior team in Chilliwack. You've got the Vancouver Giants who play in Langley. You've got countless BC junior teams in the Fraser Valley as well. That's a lot of hockey spread across a market. How will it work? How will it shuffle out? Is there any concern that one might be taking from another? Or will they all just sort of get along harmoniously? Jeff Patterson joins us next for that. We'll also talk about everything from the Canucks, JT Miller, the walking snap show this season, Jack Rathbone, his NHL debut. 8 o'clock hour, Greg Wyshynski is going to join us on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650 to get into the Tom Wilson debate and discussion, which is, there's no signs of it slowing down. Because the Caps and the Rangers play again tonight, yes?
Our poll question today, should Tom Wilson have been suspended?
The loon.
First option, yes, for a long time. Second option, yes, for a couple games. And the third option is a straight no. Yes, for a long time has 59% of the vote. So the majority of people think yes, not only yes, but for a long time. Only 9.2% of people say that no, he shouldn't have been suspended.
What did you vote for? Because I voted for the second one. Yes, he should have been suspended some games.
Yes, for a couple games.
Yeah. It is the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Halford and Brough in the Morning is brought to you by Able Auctions. If you're closing your business and you're not sure what all your assets are worth, let Able Auctions help. They've been helping BC business owners wind down and sell their business assets in an orderly manner for over 30 years. Whether you're a complete manufacturing plant, a restaurant, a mechanical shop, an old nightclub in Abbotsford, Able Auctions has seen it and done it all. Email sales@ableauctions.ca and get your free of charge confidential consultation scheduled today. That's sales@ableauctions.ca. Jeff Patterson, Intrepid Canucks reporter, coming up next on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. /7:26 on a Wednesday. Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. Is J-Pat on the line? Okay, we'll get to him in one sec here. Two more things to consider with the city of Abbotsford as selling points for us out-of-towners, us townies, going in to the Big Smoke. I just made that up. I don't know if they call it the Big Smoke. Wayne in Langley wants to point out that if you want a really late night following the match, the Abbotsford Arrows game, a lot of people going with Abbotsford Arrows, you can hit the Twilight Drive-In Theater on the way home after the game, up to three movies for the price of one. Now, Wayne, I will say, I'm pretty sure that's a Langley property. I don't think it's Abbotsford.
And also, if you watch all three, you're there until like 2 a.m.
Here's an interesting one from Kelly in the Silver Valley. There's still a You Pick Apart auto wrecker in Abbotsford, and that has to be a selling point. He's right. I did not know this. Empire Abbotsford. Recycled auto and truck parts.
Yeah.
You get, and you save money if you pick it apart yourself.
We should drive Dom out there, drop him off, and say, build a car and come home.
That's true.
I could do it. I could do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know a lot about cars?
My dad was a mechanic.
Oh, really?
Hello. What are you?
A board op and producer.
So
we both work with our hands.
That's true. You both push buttons at a certain
What's
point.
What's the
in your
most
job?
Complicated thing you could do with a car?
An oil change.
That doesn't seem that complicated.
Yeah, but you'd be surprised at how many men cannot do that.
Well, I can't. I've never even tried.
See?
Why would I? There's like people that do that.
I just feel like.
Well, you can read a newspaper.
Let's not get into this. J-Pat's on the line. I have thoughts.
You have thoughts?
All right. We'll hold on to them.
Nice. That's a tease for after the J-Pat. Joining us now, Jeff Patterson. Intrepid Canucks reporter here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. What up, J-Pat?
I'm thinking I'm going to borrow a line from Zekeris and say, I'll cede my time here. I want to know more of Dom, the backstory of Dom.
Well, take it away, Shrumatty.
What do you want to know, Jeff Pat?
No, actually, let's say
we'll save it for the
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Jeff, you've been doing this gig for an awfully long time. What were some of your memories of the American Hockey League being in Abbotsford? Of course, not as a Canucks affiliate, but rather a Calgary Flames affiliate. But it was the last time that that high level of hockey had been in this province this close to the NHL team. Again, it's not a perfect comparison because there's a big difference between being Calgary's affiliate and being Vancouver's affiliate. But what do you recall about the American Hockey League in Abbotsford?
That it seemed doomed to fail right from the beginning, that it just never made sense to me to bring your chief rival's farm team into your backyard and think that just because it's hockey that people are going to gravitate to it, when there were major junior options up and down the corridor there. And, you know, people in Abbotsford, I think, are primarily Canuck fans. So just on so many levels, it didn't make sense. During the lockout, I went out, I watched a pair of games when the Chicago Wolves came to town. Those were the only AHL experiences I had. And then the Canucks played a preseason game there 2 years ago with Ottawa, and they packed the place. And again, that was to see the Vancouver Canucks, and people seemed into it then. So I hope it works. You know, I mean, it makes sense, obviously, to have the farm team on this side of the continent. Yeah, there's still challenges because it's really two moving targets. I mean, there will be times where the Canucks need a player and they're on the road in Florida or Carolina, and the Abbotsford team is here in Abbotsford. I mean, that's just life in pro sports. And of course, Abbotsford's going to be traveling as well, but you know, there'll be lots of times when the two teams are at home at the same time, and it'll just make life that much easier for guys to be called up and for the organization to put the call into the farm. So I think long overdue to shift the team west. I always thought that California might make more sense. I know you guys were talking earlier about practice time. I mean, it is a huge part of the developmental process, and so there will be some travel issues still. You know, there's a ton of marketing opportunities and branding. It just makes sense on a lot of levels. So I'm glad to see it's done, or at least I think it's done. That seemed the strangest part to me was, you know, putting out a release that the intention is to move the AHL team to Abbotsford. Like, they didn't put out a press release that their intention was to re-sign Thatcher Demko or Tanner Pearson a couple of weeks ago. So the idea that you would put out this, like, put up the release and 90 minutes before game time, too. Like, people were saying, oh, it's a distraction. And it's like, you had some good news with Jack Rathbone. Like, they had just confirmed Rathbone half an hour earlier. Like, I don't know. If I was Canucks PR, like, I would have had the press release in my drafts, and I would have waited until McDavid got, like, his second point last night, and then I would have hit send.
Well, it's not just a distraction. The AHL have a board of governors meeting where it's going to come up, and I think it's like the meeting is tomorrow. So, I mean, it wasn't a distraction. About the game last night, the Canucks lost. Two stories for me. First of all, there was JT Miller and his ongoing temper tantrum, which has lasted all season. And also Jack Rathbone. Let's start with Rathbone, because in the limited time that I saw him, he was delivering a lot of the things that he was as advertised. He's a good skater. He's shifty. He has that escapability. I'm just wondering, you know, hopefully down the line, he's a top four defenseman. Don't get me wrong, but I'm wondering how the Canucks are going to fit Ulevi and Rathbone onto the team next season if they don't have full confidence that one of them, at least one of them, can be a top four defenseman.
Right, and I'm like most people. I was excited to see Rathbone, and I think I came away from the game last night thinking that he was good. I want to see more of him, and I hope that he gets an opportunity. But to your point, you've got Ole Ulevi, and so could I see the two of those guys playing along with Quinn? Like, could they have a left side of Hughes, Ulevi, and Rathbone here down the stretch? I think that's tough to imagine, just because they still play Alex Edler an awful lot in a ton of situations. So, 12 minutes and 4 seconds at even strength. Only three shifts in the third period. That was a little disappointing because I wanted to see more of him. And part of the problem there is Quinn Hughes played more than half of the third period.
Yeah.
I think Hughes was at 10 minutes and 11 seconds. And I know they had a couple of power plays, but still, like, I'm not sure that at this stage we need to see that much of Quinn Hughes. Give Rathbone an opportunity. Like, both his goals in the American Hockey League this year came on the power play. Whether it's running, I don't know that the Canucks would put him in the top unit power play, certainly in his debut, but you know, even on the second unit, like, give him an opportunity. Let's see what Jack Rathbone is all about. But, and he talked about it post-game. Like, what a welcome to the NHL moment. I know last week Cole Lind was talking about lining up against Joe Thornton off a face-off and that would be a pretty cool memory to have. You're Jack Rathbone, and that second period, you're staring down McDavid and Draisaitl on a two-on-one. Like, if that's me, I'm probably rolling up in a ball at center ice, closing my eyes, and just hoping that it all goes away.
Fake an injury.
Yeah, exactly. I thought he defended pretty well there. He forces McDavid to make the pass, skips over Draisaitl, and no damage done there. So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and declare anything about Jack Rathbone other than I want to see more of this guy, and I hope with 9 games to go, now that he's made his debut, the coach had pretty high praise for him. He's a well-spoken guy. We know that he's a smart guy. He's a Harvard guy. So, you know, I think he handled it well. And now that he's got some of the nerves out of the way, I hope that he gets right back into the lineup. But there is a little bit of a logjam there on that left side. And so I'll be really curious to see how the coaching staff fills out its lineup on a nightly basis over these final 9 games.
At the end of the day, do you identify the same two spots that management has to address this offseason? And that is, I'm talking about the on ice. Obviously, they need a head coach as well. But on ice, it would be a top four defenseman and a third line center. And those are the two major ones.
Yeah, I think without too much doubt, and I'm not in the camp that believes that JT Miller should be a center or the third line center option. I just the more that I watch the Canucks here, and I know they're without Elias Pettersson, and that certainly hurts. I mean, we've seen what Austin Matthews has done to them, seen what McDavid has done here. You know, the Canucks without their most skilled offensive player, it's part of the reason that they're struggling right now. It's by no means the only one, but I still am a believer in loading up on that top line when everybody's healthy, and so. If you do that, then it leaves you with that massive gap in the middle of the third line.
Sure.
So we'll see where it goes for the Canucks. Again, they're going to have salary gap issues. It's not like they can go out into the market and just sign a third line center. Can they get creative and free up some money? Can they get creative on the trade front? We've talked about trying to poach off other teams that maybe have some protection issues. So, you know, those are the options that they're going to have to explore here. But, you know, it's pretty obvious that they're all missing Elias Pettersson. And I think, you know, some of that is being borne out in front of our eyes with the frustrations of JT Miller. You know, I don't think last night he was frustrated because Pettersson wasn't in the lineup, but we didn't see any of those outbursts last year when things were going so smoothly for Pettersson, for Miller, when he was with Pettersson in lockstep basically all season long. So, you know, the frustration is absolutely one of the stories to come out of last night, but some of that, a lot of it, in my mind, is self-inflicted, and maybe it's the guy trying to do too much. I know that Travis had the throaty defense of JT Miller after the fact, but, you know, you got a 1-0 lead. You spend the entire game doing everything you can to try to keep the puck away from Connor McDavid, and then JT Miller, you know, goes and throws it to the wrong guy.
Yeah,
and
he had time, too.
I mean, he's got to make better plays, and then the other, the 4-1 goal, I mean, We've just seen way too much of that, the blind pass into the middle. And so I understand the fan base. Like, it just doesn't feel like Miller's getting the message that he's learning at this stage. Travis Green was asked about benching him after the fact. And I think that is part of the frustration, that this is one of the top players, and we've just seen that same mistake of blind passes into the middle all season long. And they're like grenades. I mean, they wind up blowing up in the Canucks' face time and time and time again.
Yeah, the idea to move JT Miller to the center spot even after Pettersson returns, and whether he's the 3C, the 2C, 1C, it doesn't really matter. It's not something that I sit there and go, no, this is a great idea that has to happen. It's more about what are the other options? Because it's easy to say, we'll just go get a good third-line center. Okay, well, I mean, they've tried a few, right? Or the easy thing to say would be, well, re-sign Brandon Sutter for another year. Well, that's not going to make the Canucks better. And the same I say would go with, well, just re-sign Alex Edler as your top four defenseman. Well, that's not going to improve them. So it's more just like, well, what else could they try if they can't find that third line center and they don't want to re-sign Brandon Sutter? It's not easy. It's actually like people think of the third line center like, oh, it's a bottom six role. It's not that important. It's actually pretty important. I mean, it is, I would say, the most important position of the bottom six. So is it the seventh most important forward position? Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I think on a couple of levels, one is the really good teams like a Tampa, like Yanni Gord is their third line center. They look to him and that line. He played with Coleman and Goodrow. You know, they're not just holding their own out there. Like, they're looking to dominate opponents, take advantage of matchups, and generate offense. And we know that the Canucks get nothing out of the bottom end of their lineup. The other part is if you get an injury like to Elias Pettersson, you want a third line center that can move up. You're not going to replace your number one center, obviously, but you want a third line guy that can play a little higher in the lineup and can still generate offense and hopefully distribute the puck and make some of the guys around him a little bit better. You know, the idea of bringing Brandon Sutter back, like I have no time for that conversation if there's any thought that he would be the third line center. You know, I'm open to it if I knew that he would be the fourth line guy, kill some penalties, take some faceoffs, late in games, whatever. But the minute you've got Brandon Sutter playing higher in the lineup, he's got 3 assists on the season. Mm-hmm. Like we know that he is not the option and the answer for that third line center position. When you talk about what else could they do, you know, they were auditioning Cole Lind down in the minors. You got 9 games to go. Like, why wouldn't you play Cole Lind in the middle, give him an opportunity, and just, again, use this as a chance to see what you've got, take stock of, you know, some of these players. I don't know that Cole Lind's the answer, but I don't know that he's not either. Travis Boyd doesn't seem to have offered an awful lot to the mix here in the limited time that he's been around, so I don't know that he's an option moving forward, but yeah, I mean, there's no question. Third line center, and then on the back end, you know, that's my concern, is if you bring Edler back, what are they going to do with Travis Hamonic? Like, Hamonic and Hughes have been all right. I think Hamonic, since he came back from his injury, has sort of settled in here, but he's 30 years old. Like, he's going to want term. Like, I don't think he's looking at a series of one-year contracts for the rest of his career, and I don't know if the Canucks want to do term with Travis Hamonic, but he might shop himself on the open market. What if he leaves? Like, you know, I just think that there's this idea that, you know, they're going to bring back most of their defense, but we know that this defense is constructed hasn't been nearly good enough. So, look, this isn't a news bulletin to anybody, but there is a lot of heavy lifting that has to be done here in the offseason to try to get this team better, because bringing back the same component parts and just hoping that, you know, there's going to be improvement from within, that doesn't sound like a sound strategy to advance the cause to where the Canucks, you know, want to get this thing eventually.
Jeff, great stuff today, man. Thanks a lot for doing this. We really appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the games this week. There's still a couple more against Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers, and we will talk again next week.
All right, boys. Thanks.
Thank you. Jeff Patterson here on the Huffman Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. Dom, everyone is on pins and needles to hear your thoughts. Do you want to do it after the break? Do you want to get yourself into yourself into a lather?
Thoughts on what? Just general thoughts?
We can
thoughts?
Bang this out quickly before the break. Growing up in an Eastern European family, like one of the things that you're taught growing up is how to work on a car.
Put it in H.
Yeah, very good.
You get 6 hectares to a liter of kerosene.
In Russia, car drives you.
Yes. Okay.
So you're taught growing up, like, okay, this is how you
fix
do an oil change. It's how you change a tire. Mm-hmm. It's part of the experience growing up as a young boy. You need to learn how to work a car. Same thing with stick shifts. You got to learn how to drive a stick shift before you drive a car. Like, that's what you learn on.
Did you?
So when I hear that there are guys out there that can't do an oil change, can't change a tire, call BCAA for everything, it's kind of like, really? Like,
well,
really?
Let's
you don't feel like a little bit of an inclination, like as just like a dude to be like, I can fix this.
Well, when you grow up in I love that experience and a lot of other, you know, growing up in a WASPy family.
Yeah.
We were taught how to communicate with the Eastern European mechanic.
So you'll see, you guys are coming at this from very different places.
Very different.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can oil change, check, changing tire, check.
Yeah.
Can you, like, change brake pads on a car?
I really wanted to, I could do it.
Do they look like shoulder pads?
Definitely not.
That's a pretty decent,
I didn't know that.
That's a pretty decent skill set. That's
I
not
mean,
bad.
I think it's basic. Like, you should know how to do basic things on a car because your car.
If I was to try and change the brake pads on my car,
you'd cry.
The car would know how to have brakes. Let's put it that way. You'd have to do the Flintstone style stop where you're just dragging your foot out the car. That's it. I got some bad news here. I don't want to do breaking news because this sucks, but you know, my affinity for the Summer Nights concert tour at the PNE.
Oh, yeah.
PNE's off.
No PNE in 2021.
There will no be PNE this summer.
What? Sorry.
There will be no PNE this summer.
That's not how you said it.
Did I say peenie?
It's fine. I'll bring it up.
With heavy hearts and following much consideration and discussion with management of the PNE, we are announcing that in-person PNE Fair will not be possible in 2021. That's disappointing. What becomes of Tony and their summer tour? Where will they relocate to?
Was there a PNE last summer?
No.
What about Playland? That's a separate entity, kind of, isn't
Playland is going to open later than usual. I believe it's in the mid-May. It's
so already supposed to open. Distant Playland, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's easier to control the number of people that go into Playland.
Well, we've all been out to the PNE and been in that crush of humanity.
Yeah, it's a lot of
people. You can't have that.
Right. But, I mean, what becomes of the Superdogs now? Who are they going to be super for? And I bring this up because what? What are you laughing at?
I'd rather you go to break and then talk about this after, not squeeze this in now and then have a nub segment.
Fine. You know what? We'll do it your way. Halford, Bruff, Sportsnet, 650.
Well, when you grow up in a, I love that experience and a lot of other, you know, growing up in a WASPy family.
Yeah.
We were taught how to communicate with the Eastern European mechanic.
7:49 here on the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. Bridging the cultural gap here today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I played golf with Judge Smales. Did you know that?
Halford and Bruff in the Morning is brought to you by Able Auctions. If you have business assets to sell, email sales at ableauctions.ca.
Have you seen Caddyshack?
A long time ago.
So you don't appreciate.
No,
like if I were to go to you like Spalding, get your foot off the boat.
No.
Would you understand that?
Not off the top of my head, no. It's not one of those that I
would. Would you even appreciate the humor? I don't know if you would.
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
Like I'd go and watch it again. I just haven't had a reason to.
Yeah.
So we're bridging the gap between Bruff's WASPy background, Dom's Eastern European.
By the way,
background.
WASPy? You have to fill me in on this term.
You don't know that term?
No.
WASPy.
White, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
WASP. Very WASPish.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
WASPish.
We have a bad rap these days.
Yeah. So within the
caused a lot of problems.
Within the context of what you two are talking about, where the WASPy Bruff side is trying to get some mechanical work done by the hardworking Eastern European side, the WASPy would be like, Laszlo.
Why are you going to these Hungarian names?
Car,
Tibor and Laszlo.
Car, no drive.
You fix. I've been living in this country my entire life.
Yeah. Sir, you big dumb animal. But that's the other thing, too, is I love, is when you assume that someone isn't quite understanding what you're saying.
Mm.
Everyone's de facto and default go-to is raise the volume.
Yeah. Yeah.
My mom does it all the time.
My mom does that too.
Can you trim the hedges? I'm like, Ma, like he doesn't. Making it louder isn't going to change anything.
That's classic Lucille Bluth, too.
Yeah. It's like, hedges at volume two and hedges.
Oh, they don't come to this country to be your friend.
Yeah, hedges at volume two and hedges at volume two. It's like, I'm like, don't do that. Don't yell. Anyway, Dom's enjoying life right now.
This is when you should be Googling the best of Lucille Bluth. How have we not trained Dom yet? He just looks at us with those Eastern European eyes wide open to the world.
I don't understand what is Lucille Bluth.
Yeah. I do not know. Okay. If you All yelled right. it at him louder, he'd probably understand it.
Funny clips.
Yeah.
We need some funny clips.
Funny men on radio make laughs.
Can you do
yes.
read?
I got to do one, don't I?
Could you do an entire show
could you,
just with like an Eastern native, European yeah, accent? That would be amazing.
Very easy. Best.
No, number one. All right. Let's focus here. We got to get this train back on the tracks. Let's do this. The Dunbar Lumber text line is 650-650. If you want to get a hold of us on the show, we need what we learns. We're going to do them in the 8 o'clock hour. Right after Greg Wyshynski. So what did you learn over the last 24 hours in sports? There's a lot that we haven't even got to yet. For example, one half of this year's Champions League final is set. I guess congratulations to Manchester City.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
Well, they've never been to the final, right?
You know,
good for them, that plucky club.
Everything I do is so dramatic and flamboyant; it just makes me want to set myself on fire.
You need to get her talking to the clips of her talking to Lupe.
So
her maid.
As I focus on what I was talking about, they've never made a Champions League final, City, and you know it just goes to show that if you spend £200 million annually, you too can get to this point. The sarcasm aside, you've got one half of a potential all English final because Chelsea will play Real Madrid today. Chelsea, with the slimmest of margins, the lead going in. They've got the away goal that they scored in Spain last time.
Did Chelsea not defeat Man City in the FA Cup semifinals?
Correct.
Right. Yeah. So there's kind of revenge there because Man City could have won 4 trophies this year.
Yeah.
Because they won the League Cup, right? They're going to win
the Carabao Cup.
Okay. Yes. Well, that is the League Cup, right?
That is League Cup. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Energy drink. Very good.
Okay. So that's the League Cup. They're going to win the Premiership. They're going to win the league.
That's locked up. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yes,
they're
going to win the treble potentially.
But it could have been what's a
quad?
Hold on, that's
a
not a
quadruple.
That's not the treble.
It's a treble.
It's not the treble. The treble is the FA Cup, the Premiership, and Champions League.
Yeah.
It's a treble. It's a treble.
You win 3 trophies
as a United fan. Let's not crown them. You know.
Well, I mean, they've got a lot of heavy lifting still to go.
Yeah.
Right. But kudos to them. They're in. So Chelsea today is going to be interesting. It's at Stamford Bridge. Have you seen the weather in England, by the way?
Okay.
Did you see the...
No, I haven't checked
snowing.
It.
Yeah,
it was snowing yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The second half highlights won't show it as well. It's on the television here in the Sportsnet studio. But in the first half, there was a thin dusting of snow on the field.
Oh, no, that's just Manchester. It's dust.
It's true. So, if you
There's always a fire burning.
We could do a what we learned about the Champions League. You can do a what we learned about... the National Basketball Association. If you want to go to
Abbotsford,
got a lot of what we learned. We're learning stuff about Abbotsford.
Mm.
I did not know all this stuff, so this is great. I feel like one day, maybe you and I will have to do the Halford and Brough hometown tour and take it all the way to Abbotsford. Now, some people are saying that we're talking like real city slickers, like we're making it sound like Abbotsford is like 500 kilometers away.
Yeah,
it is.
It's 80 kilometers away.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well be 500.
But I think that what we're trying to do is...
Do you know they're just getting all the old movies from the 80s now? Back to the Future is playing at the theater in Abbotsford.
It's true.
There's
a huge run on DeLoreans.
Mm-hmm.
At the pick-apart.
At the pick-apart. It's like, you have any of the doors that go up and down? I will check.
I will check, yes.
Somewhere in back. All right, one final hour to go on the Halford and Brough Show, What We Learns, and Greg Wyshynski. It's all coming up next on the Halford and Brough Show. But before we do that, I've got to ask you another question. I asked you earlier if you wanted a new job. I'll ask you another one. Do you want to be the envy of your neighborhood? If so, Craftsman and Sportsnet, that's us, are teaming up to give one lucky winner the chance to win $20,000 in cash and Craftsman tools and storage to create your own dream garage. This sounds like something you'd be really interested in, Dom. A dream garage.
I have one already.
All right. To enter for your chance to win the Craftsman Dream Garage Contest, visit sportsnet.ca/craftsman. Enter to win to increase your chances. No purchase necessary. Contest ends June 20th of this year. That's 2021. See full rules for details. Craftsman tools are available at Lowe's and Rona stores across Canada. And, of course, you can also get them online at Amazon.ca.
I've got a little poem that I'd like to read in honor of this occasion, if I may. Spalding, get your foot out the boat. It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts are too tight in the seat. Okay, Pookie, do the honors.
Bless this ship and all who sail on her. I christen thee the Flying Wasp.